That was Florence Price's Night, Louise Alder and Joseph Middleton's Starry Encore, ending their recital this lunchtime. And that is all from Wigmore Hall today. I hope you can join us again here next week when the Kaleidoscope Chamber Collective perform music by Dvorak, Frank Bridge, and the groundbreaking African-American William Grant Still. But for now, I'll hand you on to Broadcasting House.
That was Hannah French presenting from the Wigmore Hall last Monday lunchtime. And as she said, you can catch another recital from there tomorrow at the same time, just after 1 o'clock.
Radio 3 Breakfast sets up the day. Our selection of great music offers inspiration first thing. We'll nourish you with the variety of our choices. Works from near and far. Music written 800 years ago and written this year. We'll ease you calmly out of the night and give you the energy needed for the new day. With news updates and cultural stories and musical suggestions from you. Radio 3 Breakfast, live first thing 7 days a week. Or take breakfast whenever it suits you on BBC Sounds.
This Sunday afternoon on BBC Radio 3, it's just gone 2 o'clock, which means it's time for this week's Early Music Show, presented by Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show. Amongst all the Corellis, the Caccinis, Charpentiers and Cabathons that we often feature in the programme, we're going to spend the next hour in the company of plain old Thomas Tomkins. Less exotic sounding, perhaps, but one of the foremost church composers of the Tudor and Stuart period. And what interesting times he lived in. Born in 1572 in St David's in Pembrokeshire, he saw Queen Elizabeth I, James I and Charles I come and go, and was still working through the interregnum, just missing out on the Restoration by 4 years. He was a pupil of William Byrd, composer of the King's music and organist at the Chapel Royal. And alongside that, for almost his entire adult life, he was in charge of the music at Worcester Cathedral, witnessing its desecration during the Civil War, not to mention a lucky escape when his own house was hit by cannon shot. So, with all that in mind, let's launch in with what's probably Tomkin's best-known work, the anthem When David Heard, a passionate and, I think, incredibly moving setting of King David's lament from the Bible. It's long been recognised as one of the greatest examples of late Renaissance composition, and it's still a staple of cathedral choirs to this day. When David heard that Absalom was slain, he went up to his chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said, "My son Absalom." At this point, it rises up dramatically as the lines overlap and imitate until the last words, where the tension is released in a perfect final chord. "Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." to Sacred Anthems by Thomas Tomkins. Gabriel Crouch directed Gallicantus in Then David Mourned, and before that we heard The 16, directed by Harry Christophers in When David Heard. They're not really companion pieces, in spite of their similar-sounding titles, but they were both published in Tomkins' Songs collection of 1622, around the time, in fact, that he became an organist at the Chapel Royal. But let's scroll back a bit. We don't know much about Tomkins' musical education, but at some point in the 1590s, he was sent to study with that hugely influential master of European music, William Byrd. Lots of Byrd's students went on to make their names, composers like Peter Phillips and Thomas Weelkes, and Thomas Morley, organist at St Paul's Cathedral, brilliant madrigalist and general all-rounder, who dedicated his own treatise to his teacher. A plain and easy introduction to practical music, with a K, of course. That was the title. Tomkins studied Morley's work very carefully, working through his copy and making annotations in the margins. But Byrd's influence was never far away, not least in his many keyboard works, and we're going to hear one of those next, but in the form of a viol consort. The playing of viols had long been the preserve of professional court musicians, but by 1600 it had moved into the hands of wealthy and cultivated amateurs and fantasias with their colourful contrasts and challenging counterpoint were particular favourites. In this one, Tomkins excels himself as the rising and falling notes of the six-note scale or hexachord are passed around the consort from one instrument to another, while the others weave virtuosic melodies around them. In some ways, it's a pretty complex listen, but it can be easier to follow the individual lines when they're played on four separate instruments, as we'll hear it now, rather than a keyboard. Well, that's what I think, anyway. Here's the Rose Consort of Viols.
Thank you.
The Rose Consort of Viols with Thomas Tomkins' four-part hexachord fantasia ut re mi, which also exists in a keyboard version. And we'll be hearing some more of Tomkins' viol music a bit later on. In 1596, Tomkins was appointed Master of the Choir at Worcester Cathedral and settled down to life in the cathedral close with his new wife, Alice Hassard, the widow of his predecessor. He oversaw the construction of the cathedral's magnificent new organ by Thomas Dalham, foremost organ builder of the day. But he also maintained close ties with London and in due course became a gentleman of the Chapel Royal, and then on the death of William Byrd was given the post of organist and composer. Throughout his life, he produced a great deal of music, pieces for virginals, organ and viols, madrigals and canzonets, and at the heart of it, more than 100 church anthems and services, probably dating from the early years of Charles I's reign. We're going to hear part of Tomkins' third service now. It's also known as the Great Service, as it was heavily influenced by William Byrd's own Great Service. But there are moments when Tomkins is remarkably forward-looking as well. The easy way he moves from counterpoint into a lighter style is something you hear quite a lot in his music, unlike some of his older contemporaries who like to keep the sacred and the profane clearly separate. The performers here are the top of the range Talis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips.
We praise thee, O God. We
Oh,
The Talis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips, with part of the so-called Great Service by Thomas Tomkins, from the collection Musica Deo Sacra. You're listening to the Early Music Show here on Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping, and we're exploring the life and works of the composer and organist Thomas Tomkins. So through the 1620s and 30s, Tomkins commuted between Worcester Cathedral and the Chapel Royal in London, or wherever it happened to be at the time. It's a hard enough journey on today's motorways, but it must have been pretty uncomfortable in the 1600s. So you won't be surprised to hear that by the age of 56, Tomkins had become weary with the responsibilities of not one, but two high-level jobs, and decided to withdraw from the Chapel Royal and devote himself to Worcester more or less full-time. He continued to be very active, but things were about to change when in 1642, Tomkins, a confirmed monarchist, saw his country descend into several years of brutal civil war. Within 4 years, Worcester surrendered to the parliamentary forces. The cathedral organ was dismantled and choral services discontinued. Not surprisingly, perhaps, there seems to be an air of resignation in much of his later work, like the solemn pavane in A minor that we're going to hear next. It's followed here by the anthem Woe Is Me, written some years earlier, full of dark sonorities and strange dissonances.
Thank you.
I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The final lines of Thomas Tompkins' anthem, Woe Is Me, based on Psalm 120 and published in 1622. The performers there were Eve Fagiolini, directed by Robert Hollingworth. And before that, we heard the Rose Consort of Viols with Tompkins' Pavane in A minor, originally a keyboard piece, which he probably arranged for viol consort for his own domestic use. In 1649, Charles I was taken to the scaffold in a final end to the civil wars. He was given just 3 days to put his affairs in order and say goodbye to his family. And on a bitterly cold January day, in front of a black cloth hung on the outside wall of Whitehall's banqueting house, he knelt at the block to receive the executioner's axe. There was such a groan by the thousands then present as I never heard before, wrote one witness. Just days later, Tompkins, ever the royalist, composed a keyboard piece with a title that said it all, a sad pavane for these distracted times. The organist Lawrence Cummings with a sad pavane for these distracted times, which Thomas Tompkins wrote within days of the execution of his beloved monarch, Charles I. Well, before we move on to the final chapter of Tompkins' life, I'd like you to hear a couple more vocal works which demonstrate so well his great skill as a contrapuntalist. The five-part madrigal, Too Much I Once Lamented, I think is amazing. He dedicated it to my ancient and much-reverenced master, William Byrd. And it's full of sad harmonic clashes that suddenly turn into the jolliest of fa-la-la-las. But first, the anthem, O God, the proud are risen against me. With a text taken from Psalm 86, it's a real tour de force, encompassing everything from the weighty eight-part polyphony of the opening to the most delicate word painting before the words goodness and truth ring out joyfully at the end.
haunting door and singing.
La 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 la
la la la la la
la la la la la
la
la la la la
la la
la la la
la la
la la la la
la la
la
la
la la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
The Madrigal Too Much I Once Lamented by Thomas Tomkins, The King's Singers, directed by Anthony Rooley. And before that, Christopher Robinson directed the choir of St George's Chapel in O God, the Proud Arisen Against Me. Tomkins continued to live in the Worcester Cathedral precincts for as long as he could. He produced music for the services there for the best part of 60 years, alongside more than 30 years at the Chapel Royal, composing for state occasions, such as the funeral of James I and the coronation of Charles I. But the new authorities, with their puritanical leanings, frowned upon forms of art and artworks that previous generations had revered, and he now found himself without work and without pay. Finally, at the grand age of 82, he retired to live with his son Nathaniel in the village of Martin Hussingtree, some 4 miles from Worcester. Nathaniel had married a wealthy widow, Isabella Folliot, and it was he who would later compile and publish so much of his father's work, preserving it for posterity. The couple made the old man more than welcome, but just 2 years after his move, Tomkins died and was buried in the local churchyard. The register simply states that Mr. Thomas Tomkins, organist of the King's Chapel and of the Cathedral Church in Worcester, was buried the 9th day of June 1656. One of the last pieces Tomkins composed was a dedication to his son and daughter-in-law Isabella, to thank them for having looked after him in his old age. So let's end this tribute to him with the Lady Folliot's Galliard that he composed in Isabella's honour.
Edward Parmentier playing Lady Folliot's Galliard by Thomas Tomkins. And that ends this week's Early Music Show. It was written and presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Nick Holmes. Next Sunday, Hannah French will be in Cambridge to explore some of the city's links with Handel. And she'll be looking forward to the Cambridge Handel Opera Company's new production of Tamerlano. That's at the usual time next Sunday, 2 o'clock.
For an inspiring selection of music with no distractions, you can always turn to the Intune mixtape.
the InTune mixtape, a magical mix of music every time, available whenever you want on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's just after 3 o'clock and time now for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live on Wednesday from the Chapel of Jesus College, Cambridge. The canticles are sung to the set composed by Herbert Howells for Gloucester Cathedral, and the anthem is The Pilgrim's Travels, a setting by Judith Bingham of texts from Emilia Lanier's volume of poetry published in 1611. The service begins now with an introit by Sarah Catley to a prayer by Cardinal John Henry Newman. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troublous life, until the shades lengthen and the evening comes, the busy world is hushed, the fever of life is over, and our work is done.